Hello and welcome to SFC Energy AG publication of the quarterly release Q3 2022 conference call. My name is Priscilla, and I'll be your coordinator for today's event. Please note this call is being recorded and your lines will be on listen only. However, you will have the opportunity to ask questions at the end during the Q&A session. This can be done by pressing star one on your telephone keypad to register your question. If you require assistance at any point, please press star zero and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to your host, Dr. Peter Podesser, the CEO of SFC Energy, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Priscilla, for the introduction. Good morning to all of you, and maybe I should say also good afternoon to some of you. Thank you very much for joining our call today. Daniel and myself will report on a dynamic development of the business here in the past quarter in Q3, but also over the 9 months, as well as giving you a detailed outlook here for the remaining part of the year. I think if we look in a bullet format to the key messages, yes, we see accelerated growth now throughout the year. I think we also have restored profitability again at the level that we also expect after a dip in Q4 and Q1 and 2 of Q4 last year, Q1 and 2 this year. Main message is, yeah, that the demand is fully intact, and this goes across geographies as well as our different end markets. We see real excellent momentum still on the order intake front, although the backlog is slightly down here if we look at 30th of September. If we now look at it from today's point of view, we see it up above 60 million. And some of the key orders we also were able to publish in the past weeks here. Specifically naming a big project also in Canada in the energy sector. Regionally, we have real strong momentum in North America and continued momentum in Europe. We should not neglect Asia, but naturally, volume-wise, in absolute terms, it's slightly smaller still. With all of this, I think we are happy to also be able to narrow down the guidance, the forecast for the year at the top end of our previous guidance, as we expect a positive development of the business also for the remaining part. So let me go to the main driver here means the overall demand. I think we are not neglecting the global economic challenges, and we are naturally also seeing and experiencing the impacts of the energy crisis, the energy prices going up. We also see naturally the impact of inflationary effects on different economies and the geopolitical development we don't neglect as such. But we have to state and we have to see that the environment for clean and sustainable energy technologies and solutions is continuing to generate broad demand and immediate demand. And this is across the geographies we are working in, and as said, also across the applications. And if we look at it, I think from two angles. The one is the midterm perspective. Yeah, fuel cells and hydrogen as such are seen as a dominant and valuable contributor to stop and reduce, or to first reduce and then to stop global warming. Is a contributor to a net zero situation in a midterm perspective, and that's naturally an environment that is favorable for our products and technologies and for our business. On a side note, I think we were pretty happy to be invited to an industry gathering in parallel to the UN climate conference in Egypt last week, and part of our team could report there on our products and technologies and their concrete contributions in the race to net zero. But moreover, we also have an immediate change in the environment which we are experiencing since, unfortunately, since end of February this year. With the change in the geopolitical situation, I think immediate replacements are sought after in a totally different pace. Replacements to conventional fossil fuel-based energy generation technology are sought after in a different pace than we have seen this before. So I think that's maybe as a background, a short summary here, mid and short-term changes in the environment. And why do we think that we as SFC Energy are positioned here in an appropriate and in a good way? Yeah, we have been focusing on developing, producing, and getting out to customers a solid suite of industrial grade products that can be replacing conventional energy generation already today. So it's not a concept stage. We are in implementation. And the other element is, yeah, we have been focusing on building up partnerships here on a worldwide level, with naturally different also maturity levels. But market access has been the second element of focus here for us over a decade. And I think that's part of the reason why we are able to generate the numbers we are presenting and to develop the business we are presenting to you today. And going into, let's say, the third quarter and the 9 months, the overall business performance also from our perspective is at the upper end of our expectations. Had there been no supply chain constraints, we would maybe see even we would have been able to generate an even better result. But still, 9 months growth here, 37% year on year, I think is a solid continuation of what we have shown by mid-year, and the strong growth in the third quarter, where we were able to grow the business by approximately 67% to last year's comparable quarter, helped us not only to look back at our best third quarter of the company history, but also we could overcompensate the usual seasonality, and this goes across both segments of the business. So clean energy, if we look at the quarter, sales up by 58%, and on a 9 month period by 45%. And on the clean power management, where we reportedly have and we continue to let's say inform you all about this, bigger challenges on the supply chain because the content on electronic base modules is relatively higher in this product offering. We see over the 9 months an increase of 22%, so we are catching up compared to the first half year by a jump in the third quarter here, an increase of 89%. Although, naturally, last year's Q3 in this reporting segment showed significant impact also by COVID and supply chain constraints. In the intro, I mentioned already we are particularly pleased also with the development here in North America. Canada being one of our home markets for quite a number of years, U.S. growing significantly and really fast over the last 12 to 18 months. On a quarter-to-quarter basis, we see here a 120% a growth. On a nine-month basis, 63%. European business continues to grow here, 27% in the third quarter, which, again, I think is the same track we have been showing. What we should not neglect is the jump in Asia, although on an absolute basis, naturally, it's a smaller contribution to the overall business as the Asian business amounts for about 10% of our business as of today. But still, I'd say doubling the business in the first 9 months is, I think, worthwhile to mention. And in the third quarter, we saw it, let's say, growing by more than 200%. On the application side, on the customer side, the industrial business is definitely the key driver here for our growth. And we should also be critical to look into why we see public safety and also our end consumer markets for fuel cells being behind our own expectations. So if we look at the public security and public safety side, we still see slow developments in our home market here. And if we look into, let's say, the topic that is discussed here in the public here, 100 billion additional funding here for the German armed forces, for the Bundeswehr, I think we are not the only ones who have to state here that so far still 0 euros have been contracted under this program, which I think is just caused by, let's say, the administrative procedure behind this. But yeah, it's home market still slow. We saw some delays in the UK and in Israel also year to date. But at the same time, we have first orders in from the UK for Q1 of next year, and we are building up a significant funnel here, especially in India and some, I'd say, other countries. Consumer, we see first hesitations on end consumer side. This especially the RV market has gone through a tremendous boom phase with, let's say, a change on the interest front, also with, let's say, supply chain issues here, especially on the RV manufacturers or RV industry side. We are slightly behind our expectations, but also there, I think over time we expect some of our OEM programs help us to let's say, come back into a growth phase and on a growth pace. Looking at the challenges that we are looking at, still supply chain is a topic. I think 2-3 million of revenue that we could have shipped in Q3 slipped out to the present quarter. We still have some, despite huge efforts here from the organization, also very permanently high inventory levels here of components. We still have to accept some late shipments of modules that have an impact. But overall, as we see on a quarterly basis, a maximum of approximately a 10% impact. So I think that's the almost the used level of delays here. Till today, we have not seen any disruption on the manufacturing side. What we have done right now is we have, with the increase of our stock levels and at the same time with the expansion of the production, we have opened a logistics hub here near to our headquarters in Brunnthal, also in the outskirts of Munich. We are opening this as we speak in the current days, and this should even give us a better flexibility. Besides, let's say, all the efforts, again, in nearshoring, in replacing of components, we see some easing here, but especially on the electronics side, we expect a couple of months still to live with those challenges. Going to the production increase or to the capacity increasing that we have in the works right now. We are executing the plan to double the production capacity here in Brunnthal, and we are very confident to be able to finish this until the year end and to have, let's say, a double capacity situation for the upcoming year. Building up production line in Cluj on its way, able to operate from today's point of view as planned in Q1, which will leave us then with a total capacity out of this here of about 20,000 units by next year. Next steps, automated steps here, first robots to be introduced in the program here for the second half of next year. If we now look into, let's say, our midterm planning, all the projects that we have in the works there, I think in a summary we can say we are on a very good track in terms of the regional expansion, and some of the numbers already show this with, let's say, the activities in India as well as the US. We have seen some impact on the timeline here, especially due to travel restriction in our expansion of the business together with Toyota in Asia, which does not mean the overall program is changing, but we see that we basically lost a year throughout, let's say, the COVID time, not being able to see customers together with our partners out of Japan. With this, I would like to hand over to Daniel for the earnings development, and thank you very much so far.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining our call. Let me first dig into our gross profit and the gross margin of the group for the first 9 months. The gross profit increased by approximately 6.3 million euros to 23.4 million euros. The revenue goes in combination with the increased revenue contribution of the clean energy segment, which has a higher margin profile, was the main reason, obviously, for the gross profit growth. If we, you know, look at the segment clean energy, we're seeing that the gross margin was stable, whereas, and that's sort of the trend that we had also from the previous two quarters, the gross margin in the clean power management segment has contracted. The main reason, or one of the key reasons why the gross margin has, you know, has stayed stable, is really on the one hand side the positive impact of the price increases. We mentioned that in our earlier calls that we had on 1st of January and in May. They are kicking in combination with the stabilization of material cost as well as logistic and transportation costs for incoming goods. Stabilization means, you know, we see slight decreases here and there, but it's still at a very high level. All this then translates into the gross margin on group level of 36.8% for the first 9 months, 2022, and that's pretty much on the level of the gross margin of last year's first 9 months, which amounted to 36.8%. Still, and Peter already mentioned it, you know, still there remains a risk in the global supply chain. Over summer, we see those risks decreasing. We've seen availability of material increasing, but the risk is not gone yet. Situation has just eased. We stick to our midterm and long-term targets of the gross margin, which for the clean energy segment is above 44%, and for the clean power management, above 32%. If you look at the gross margins of the two segments, as mentioned before, the gross margin in the clean energy segment was pretty much stable. In the first 9 months, we're looking at 42.1% compared to 42.3% in the last year, resulting in a gross profit in the clean energy segment of 18.5 million compared to 12.8 million the previous years. So I mentioned that already before the price increases we had really kicked in. We also mentioned that in the previous quarter that we expect them, you know, a first impact in the second quarter, which we saw towards the end of the second quarter, and then increasing positive impacts also through the third quarter. Also, what is very positive in the segment is the product mix. The segment growth was driven strongly by fuel cells for industrial applications. They account roughly for 2/3 of the segment revenues compared to 50% in the first 9 months last year. These products tend to have higher power levels, to some extent also a higher level of functionality and consequently higher margins. If we look at the segment clean power management, the gross margin is below last year's gross margin. We're looking at 24.5% compared to 26.4%, which then translates, giving the revenue growth, however, in a gross profit of 4.9 million euros compared to 4.2 million euros in the previous year. The impact, Peter already mentioned it, of the higher expenses or costs for electronic components are still there. We have price increases also in this segment. In this segment, given also the larger backlog with fixed prices, the impact on the gross margin has a bit of a higher time lag than in the segment clean energy. Going into the EBITDA and the EBIT, the reported group EBITDA, you've seen a huge increase in the first 9 months. Reported group EBITDA amounted to 9.8 million euros, translating into a reported EBITDA margin of 15.3%. That compares to a negative reported EBITDA of 600,000 K in the last year, and obviously a negative margin. As many of you know, have seen it, you know, our reported EBITDA is always impacted by the non-recurring recurring expenses, respectively, provision expenses for the ZARS program as well as transaction-related expenses. So the reported EBITDA in the first 9 months this year were positively impacted by, you know, a rather large amount, that is 2.4 million euros, whereas in the first 9 months last year it was negatively impacted by 6.4 million euros. It really explains the huge difference in the reported EBITDA. The expenses on non-recurring expenses, which, you know, we adjust the reported EBITDA to get to the adjusted EBITDA, are basically for the LTI programs. These expenses in the first 9 months amounted to 360,000 euros, compared to 6.6 million euros in the previous years. You know that we do value our LTA programs on a quarterly basis. The valuation is a stock option pricing model, which of course is also impacted by the share price development. So whether this is good or bad, we'll see. But the share price, obviously, at the end of the year was 28 euros 40 compared to 17 euros 16 at the end of the third quarter. This then will lead to an income of 2.8 million euros by reversal of the provisions for paid-out programs, but also for still existing programs, and you'll find this income in the other operating income. Transaction expenses were very low in the first 9 months, so negligible. So adjusting our reported EBITDA for those effects, we'll get to the adjusted EBITDA that amounted to 7.4 million in the first 9 months, representing an adjusted EBITDA margin of 11.5%, and that compares to 5.8 million euros in the last year, and a slightly higher adjusted EBITDA margin of 12.5%. So the slightly lower adjusted EBITDA margin, if you look at it and if you go from the top of our P&L down, is really we had a slightly lower gross margin. I mentioned that before. Our G&A expenses have relatively increased to the last year. We had relatively lower, on the other hand, sales and marketing expenses, which then again were compensated or overcompensated by relatively higher expense R&D costs. And obviously, I mentioned that before, a rather higher operating result of 700K. Looking at depreciation amortization, no big surprises. Total depreciation amortization amounted to 3.6 million euros in the first 9 months compared to 3.9 million. Nothing changed in the composition. You'll see and you'll know that the major portion of that depreciation is IFRS 16 related with 1.6 million euros, followed by depreciation of our capitalized R&D amounting to 1.3 million. And the far lesser part is then really tangible, intangible assets. And the depreciation those two categories amounted to 785K. That gets us to the adjusted EBITDA, the adjusted adjusted EBIT. And the adjusted EBIT were 3.7 million euros, translating into a margin of 5.9%, a little bit higher than in 2021, where we were looking at 2.7 million and a margin of 5.8. Let me quickly run you through the operating expenses and the development of the operating expenses. I touched base on that earlier. Total marketing expenses, as always, at first glance, significantly lower than the previous years. However, the impact is that development results from the impact of the LTI programs. In the current year, we have about 175,000 euros of expenses for the LTI programs included in our sales and marketing expenses versus 3.8 million in the last year. If we adjust our sales and marketing expenses for those two, for this effect, we're looking at adjusted sales and marketing expenses of 9.6 million euros compared to 7.6 in the previous years. As an increase of 26%, but also, as we mentioned, you look at the increase of the revenues we're having, it compares to 50% of the revenues. Last year, adjusted sales and marketing expenses were about 16.4% of the revenues. Nothing changed, once again, about our midterm target range of sales and marketing expenses, which should be anything between 12 and 30%. Of our revenues as the operating leverage starts to kick in, and we already saw this a little bit in the current year. The increase in sales and marketing expenses, rather intuitive and simple. It's really personal expenses as well as increased travel and fare expenses, which are picking up in the current year. R&D expenses, if we start and look at our total adjusted R&D spend, and the total adjusted R&D spend is calculated on the R&D that we actually expensed in our P&L, plus the R&D expense that we capitalize, plus whatever we receive and subsidies and JD&A. So the total adjusted R&D spend was about 5.5 million euros. That's a solid 39% higher than we had in the last 9 months, where we were looking at 4 million. Out of those 5.5 million, we expensed adjusted R&D 3.6 million compared to 2 million in the previous year. So you see that the adjusted and adjust adjustments means once again for the LTI expenses that R&D expenses were higher. We capitalized a little bit less than in the last year, looking at 1.6 million compared to 1.8. Subsidies increased, JDAs increased also a little bit, looking at 311,000 euros versus 215 in the previous year. That corresponds into R&D total adjusted R&D spent in relation to revenues of 8.7%. That's in our planning. Long term, nothing changed. We're looking at 6 to 7% of our revenues to be spent on R&D. Also, R&D expenses, you know, are project driven. We're still working on the same projects that we've been done, and that is a new product generation for our hydrogen and methanol fuel cells, as well as new power platforms for conversion. G&A expenses, that's probably the position that increased most compared to last year, unadjusted 7.5 compared to 8 million euros. If we adjust it for the LTI expenses, we're looking at 7.3 million euros versus 5 million euros in the previous year. It's a solid 45% increase. We announced this early this year. Mostly it's personal expenses. We have a higher personal headcount. Headcount in G&A increased from 36 to 45. We do have higher legal and advisory expenses, also IT-related expenses. corresponds to 11.5% of our revenues compared to 10.9%. Quick look at the balance sheet. It's really impacted by the capital increase we had earlier this year. On the total capex, 2.8 million, excluding the IFRS 16 effects. There are 1.8 million intangibles. 1.6 out of this is capitalized R&D, as I mentioned, and PP&E capex, so tangible and intangible assets, is 1 million, most related to equipment. Little to your surprise, our cash position increased significantly following the capital increase. We're looking at cash freely available at 64.2 million euros. That compares to 24.6 million at the end of the year. We had a slight increase also in our financial debt, 3.8 million compared to 2.7 million. Same thing as always. These are the working capital lines we have in SFC Netherlands, as well as Canada and Romania, all short-term financing. Net debt or net cash, so in this case, is 60.4 million compared to 22 million. That gives us a decent cushion of cash for the expansion and strategic plans that we're having. Equity ratio went up all the way to 74%. Because of the capital increase, but also due to the net income that was positive in the first 9 years, giving the lower ZARS expenses in that. Cash flow, real quick, operating cash flow before net working capital, 7.5 million compared to 5.3. Net working capital increased again. Also a little surprise, we announced that by 15.4 million euros. Peter mentioned already the largest impact really have inventory. It increases as we do increase and grow with the revenue, but also higher level of stocking. So increased by 11 million. Compared to the end of the year. Accounts receivables also go up as we grow with our revenues, 3.2 million, partially set off by accounts payable that increased by 2.7 million. Other losses position in the net working capital really other short-term receivables. These are prepayment and also prepaid taxes that we had, and that is an increase of 3.5 million. Results in cash flow from operating activities negative, driven by the working capital development of 8.2 million. Cash flow investing activities negative 2.8 million, as discussed. The position mainly driven by a capitalized R&D, and then the cash flow from finance activities highly driven or exclusively driven by our capital increase were 50 million euros. So that results in our solid cash position. With this, I will give it back to Peter.
Well, thank you very much. So, summarizing all of this, I think against the current macroeconomic challenges mentioned before, we continue to be positive and see our overall forecast here at the upper end, as mentioned already. And if we look at the sales revenue, well, we have the 9 month results here. We see continued demand. We still, see the backlog developing in a proper way. And therefore, even though we see still residual risks on the supply chain, we narrow down the forecast range here in the corridor between 81 and 83 million on the revenue side. This also translates to a narrowing down the range here of the underlying EBITDA between 7.5 and 8.5. Still, as Daniel mentioned, product mix, pricing implementation, but also naturally a favorable exchange rate development help us there. And then on the EBIT side, yeah, we even see a slightly better range development here because naturally some of the spending that we had in there or some of the spending simply we will not be able to do in terms of investment, especially on the R&D side. Some parts might slip into the next year, and that's why 2.6 to 3.6 million on the underlying EBIT side for us is, I'd say, the range we are seeing as of today. All of this, I think, as mentioned before, is under ceteris paribus view, not taking into account major disruptions, be it supply chain or changes again on the geopolitical landscape. But overall, yeah, you see us in a very optimistic view here in regards to not only the remaining part of this year, but also going further. And if you ask us what are the key challenges, yeah, it's not only driving the growth, I think it's also managing the growth, and means setting up global presence here. I mentioned India, I mentioned the U.S., and at the same time also finding the right people. You see, let's say, our headcount growing here from 288 to 331 here in the first 9 months of the year, and 18% growth. And still, we are having about 40 open positions here. So that is the daily agenda here, but we feel it's, as I would call it, even not only a positive issue or challenge, it's a luxury problem driving and managing growth. And as a last one, yeah, at the same time, we have not forgotten about, let's say, the M&A part. We are still looking at possibilities of, let's say, add-on technologies, as well as, let's say, accelerating market access here by a smaller M&A transaction. And with this, we're coming to an end, and we are handing back to Priscilla to open the floor for your questions and comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a contribution on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll go ahead and take our first question from Thijs Berkelder from ABN AMRO ODDO BHF. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much. Peter and Daniel, pleasure to be back in the call, especially with these beautiful results, I would say. So congrats on the performance in Q3. But to be honest, I really don't understand your guidance for Q4 revenues. It's either that you had already had a big Oktoberfest party for the whole staff, or that you're planning a big Christmas party. We're mid-November for Q4, so somehow your revenue guidance seems to imply that you're expecting an almost complete halt in December. Can you clarify that to me? Then maybe on expenses, are you expecting any special expenses in Q4? Maybe an update there. And third question for now. It's great to see how strong North America and Asia and rest of Europe are growing, but are your competitors or peers seeing the similar trend in Germany as you, in the sense that it's absolutely stable, not moving?
Well, then maybe I'll take it from here. Thijs, good to hear you, good to have you back, and as always with a critical mind here. On the revenue planning for the year end, I think we are considerate here still in terms of simply the open supply chain topics. We are now, let's say, mid of November. We still have, let's say, one cycle of shipments ahead of us, and I think that's the key reason. We have seen last minute delays here over a period now of 16, 18 months. And therefore, we don't want to be, let's say, overly aggressive here and then have to report a last-minute disappointment. So it is a conservative approach here based simply on some of the supply chain constraints. And this might even be resolved within a couple of weeks. And then North America, Asia versus Germany. I think here, naturally, we also have a quarter-on-quarter effect in there. And still, let's say in Germany, let's say on the traction in the market, we feel the same intensity here. Maybe some bigger projects taking right now, just by coincidence, longer to get into final decision-making status compared to, for example, the U.S. But overall, demand-wise, not a sensible difference in real overall demand. So we are not concerned about the development in Germany, and we also expect, let's say, relatively strong performance here in the last couple of weeks. And I think the third part of the question, handing over to Daniel.
Yeah, so do we see any special expenses in Q4? So overall, type, Q4 in terms of especially G&A expenses tends to be a little bit higher, or the higher quarter of the year. In addition, what we see, we do have a number of projects I mentioned before in IT running staff up. We have a certain business development projects running that are also catching up in speed in Q4. So I would expect that the expense, especially in G&A, will be slightly higher in the fourth quarter. Nothing unexpected, but it's just a trend as we further develop our business.
Very good. We'll come back later.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to our next participant, Anne Margaret Crow from Edison Group. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. First of all, a big congratulations on your results, which are very good indeed. I've got two questions. One is sort of clarification on supply chain issues affecting the demand in the consumer sector. Can you confirm, is that because there's an issue in the number of recreational vehicles being sold, and that's where the supply chain problems are? That was my first question. And then the second one is, given that there is so much demand for your products, are you seeing any changes in the competitive landscape? So are you seeing any new market entrants, or are you seeing any established players looking again at the infrastructure market?
Yes, good morning, Margaret, and thanks also for your kind words. On the supply chain here in our consumer market, yes, specifically I was referring to real issues of the manufacturers being able to deliver the vehicles, which led to quite some disappointment with the consumers and then postponing decisions or canceling decisions. And so therefore, this is rather an indirect effect, not related to our own supply chain. And on the competitive landscape, I think yes, this is exactly, I think, what we are expecting. We see some, new names coming up in, and also, startup companies coming up with, product offering that might not be particularly the same or directly comparable to ours yet. But I think that's a logical and overall also a good sign here, because at the end of the day, as I personally have experienced it over years here, if there is also more offering in the market that eliminates sometimes the hesitation on the customer decision maker end, why is there not more offering than one company? At the same time, I think we are happy about, let's say, the market position, and we will do everything to maintain the leadership position here on the stationary side in the areas we are active.
Right. No, thank you. And I agree with you. It is actually a good sign when you see other people coming into the market.
Yep.
It does give you confidence. Similarly, your view on having, you know, around 40 employee positions, as you say, it's a luxury problem, a good problem to have. So thank you.
Maybe not on a daily basis, but overall, yes, I'm fully concrete. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Ann.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to our next participant, Carsten von Blumenthal from First Berlin Equity Research. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Daniel. My first question is regarding an update on India. What is your joint venture doing there? What do you expect in sales next year? How is your assembly developing? Perhaps you could elaborate on that.
Yeah, thank you, Carsten. Good to have you here. So India, in terms of development and operations and business development, is what I would, you know, say on track. We stick to the timeline that we are having. Remember, it's not so much a joint venture, but really for us a strategic cooperation that we're looking at. We see strong traction in the Indian market. We see a strong demand for our products in there. We are ready to establish, well, almost ready to establish our operations in India. So you will see something most likely happening, but that's not a big surprise and in line with what we have communicated before. So in terms of revenues in India, we're looking something like 5 to 6% of next year's revenues. Like I said, good traction there, project-based business, as you all know. So nothing changed to our overall strategy as well implementation. We do it diligently and are in a good way.
Maybe I can add only two elements to it. Well, Daniel and myself, we spent a bigger part of last week in India, and our technical team is boarding a plane within the next hour to be there for the next week. And there are already some pictures existing of, let's say, a construction site. So we are in a very concrete stage there.
Right, thanks for that. And you mentioned that the North American market was very strong, much stronger than the other markets. What is the particular reason? Is it the oil price? Is it your expansion into the U.S. market?
Well, if you take, let's say, impact-wise, it's the latter one. It's the first thing, really, U.S. Driving, but then also the energy market in a good condition contributes to the growth, but also the diversification of the last years outside the energy, outside the oil and gas market. So we really have, let's say, I would say it's the three main reasons here, and therefore also there our colleague Hans and the team, they were in North America now on a repeated basis last week. And also there, we need to get to a point to see what is the right setup here. But I think the sequence remains unchanged. Get India established and, let's say, into an operational mode. And then, let's say, in first and second quarter of next year, the U.S. establishment is on the agenda. So overall, I think there we are, let's say, especially what in regards to the U.S., we are faster than anticipated and also ahead of our own planning, simply based on the positive demand development.
All right. One last question regarding your gross margin. This was on a 9-month basis remarkably stable. For the future, do you see further pricing pressure from the cost side, and do you see further potential to increase your product prices to keep your margin stable?
Well, of course, we still see, and I mentioned that before, you know, higher or high prices on the material side. Of course, the constraints, even though they eased over the summers, are still there. And of course, we still see or may see increases in component prices. So that gives us a little bit, you know, it's an uncertain environment we're looking at right now with all everything's happening. We got a pretty good assessment and pretty good feeling on it, but it's still dynamic. So a very long answer to your short question, Carsten. Now we may or we will adjust prices as we move along and see to what extent increased costs that we may have can be passed on to our customers. We will this diligently. We will do this diligently, and we would carefully look at it. But I think we can clearly state that the pressure on the component material side has not come to zero yet.
All right. Thanks for taking my questions.
Thanks. Scylla, we can't hear you properly.
Can you hear me now?
Perfect.
Perfect.
All right. We'll move on to our next participant, Malt Stroman from Warburg Research. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, guys. First question is on currency effects. Could you provide maybe a number what the tailwind was in the first 9 months from the currency side at top line level?
Yeah, so currency impact. I mentioned that before. As you know, we had if you look at our North American sales that we're having, and the increase in basically North American sales are largely in U.S. dollars and or in Canadian dollars. So really that impacted us positively on the currency side. I mentioned this before. You'll see the total impact, net impact. In our other operating income, if you take off the income that we had from the ZORs, so that's roughly a positive impact of 600,000-700,000 euros. That is definitely something I would not call it, you know, windfall profit. You know, sometimes it has a positive, sometimes it has a negative impact. But yes, it helped us, and as you saw, North American revenues increasing significantly. All of these are either in U.S. dollar and or in Canadian dollar.
Yeah, and the Asian business, is that fully denominated in euro, or is that how that does that
correct.
Potentially
that's
fit
all,
in U.S. dollar?
That's all in euros. That's
okay,
correct.
Good. Okay, good. Then on the order intake level, I mean that had been quite low in the third quarter, so maybe you can elaborate a bit on that and what you're currently seeing in the pipeline and your thoughts on that, how that should develop in the fourth quarter.
Well, yes, Malte, this is Peter. Yeah, as of 30th of September, you see the backlog, call it down at 55 million. With, let's say, significant order intake, especially also in North America and in Europe in the recent weeks, we are back solidly above the 60 million and expect still an active decision making in the upcoming weeks. So we do not see or we cannot, I'd say, experience delay in demand or lower intensity on the demand side. So still, we have with, let's say, it's a one-off a glimpse at the end of the quarter. If something comes in, then in first week of October, yeah, you're restoring the backlog at that time. So that's how we read this for the time being.
Okay, so absolutely no reason for concern. It was just kind of a temporary thing relating to the end of quarter effects or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Then on the hydrogen part, I mean, what was the revenue contribution from hydrogen-related products, and where do you stand then with the development of your own higher power hydrogen systems?
Well, I think there we are still, let's say, ratio-wise, if we look at the fuel cells, still, let's say, 90%+ of what we have been shipping now is let's say, ongoing methanol business, as hydrogen is in a business development status where, let's say, we see a constant raising here of projects, but we are shipping naturally individual units here, which goes, which go into different applications, from utility companies for backup power to, railway to telecommunication. So therefore, the revenue contribution, as expected, is still, at the level where we are right now. If we look at, the funnel that is building up there and what we have out there in terms of also pilot systems, still, we expect telecom and telecom-related applications really being the driver for next year. Pilot development or the pilot operation in Italy is really, I think, what we hear in line with the customer's expectations. Their decision making, I think, is not happening within this year. We see also the German Bosnet program here in the next round of rollout, but also there, seeing that, we are getting now into the winter season, we do not expect a further rollout in the upcoming weeks. So that's something developing into the next year. On the R&D side, I think we have three elements. It's the new generation of our E4 hydrogen 2.5. We are in full execution, means a fully renewed offering here of the product here that is, available then in latest the second quarter of next year, means new electronic setup and also IP independent, means own SFC know-how and IP. Higher power, we fortunately were able to secure the funding in summertime. We are now in full implementation, electronics development with the Dutch team, the overall systems development here. And this is naturally, we are talking here then about, 80, 100, and then from 100 to 500 kilowatt systems. So a full product development on track. And then our electrolyzer collaboration here with Nel. I forgot to mention it here when I mentioned the midterm plan, and not intentionally, I can say here wholeheartedly. We had the Nel team here, the executives here, including the CTO. I think we are all in sync that this is the right product offering. We will have the first pilot still compiled this year, but also there we see throughout the COVID period we incurred some delay on the product development. So we expect here, half a year to 9 months longer developments due to simply delays on the development work here from the two parties. But
yep.
It's the main focus on the development side and the main investment, not neglecting the importance of our methanol offering, but the methanol offering is, call it, brand new. And the IoT developments, all what we do there in cloud functionality, is anyhow suitable then for both technology platforms.
Yeah. Okay. Good. When you look into your project pipeline, I mean, yeah, I mean, you had have the opportunities in Italy in the telecom sector, and then India is coming up next, shaping up next year. When you had some great wins like LifeView over the past years, which really developed into a very important customer, I mean, how many of these kind of customers are you actually currently talking to, and how confident are you that you could turn some of these, or how many of these could turn into actual customers then maybe within the next, let's say, 12 months or so?
I think here the good thing is, and the fortunate thing is, that this is we have two elements. The existing customers, including the ones you mentioned, just are expanding their business consistently, and this is scaling our methanol EFOY business. And at the same time, we have, I'd say, a good dozen to 20 overall projects here in our pipeline, of which usually we should be able to convert on the low end 10 to 20%. And
yeah.
With a significant impact, and some of it could even materialize still before Christmas.
Yeah, okay, good. And then on another one on the gross margin again. I mean, you already indicated that you might further increase your prices to offset higher sourcing costs. Mix-wise, what do you expect? I mean, Q4 sales is a bit lower. Does that automatically lead to a lower gross margin because of lower utilization? And then going into next year, I mean, on average, utilization should not be lower than in 2022. So what do you then expect to keep gross margins on the currently quite good level? I mean, you had a weak first quarter due to your higher sourcing costs. Maybe this will not come up again next year. So what are your thoughts about gross margin development in 2023?
Well, as a general statement, right, as you rightly said,
right.
The gross margin, you know, does depend a bit on the level of sales, especially and the key factor is really production overhead. That's more or less simple math, if you want, right, to what extent the production overhead is distributed or allocated to the number of products. I think that's the first general statement that we may, again, you've seen that in the past. So the second thing on the component side, yes, as I already mentioned, component prices are still on a high level. They are. No, I would not say necessarily increasing, but they could increase here and there. There's a certain dynamic in there, even though we did score a number, or we have on our inventory a large number of the key components that we really need. But it doesn't mean that with a, you know, not key components, but still that are needed, prices were stable. Overall, and the gross margin is a function of the product mix. I also mentioned that, you know, the industrial products tend to have higher gross margin. So we're looking at maintaining our gross margin levels. Nothing changed in our mid and long-term goal by increasing the gross margin in the clean energy segment. I mentioned above 44%. If that requires, and, you know, this is for the time being a bit of speculation, and we'll hard to say there, but we cross the bridge when we get that. If we may have to make price adjustments, we may also do price adjustment. It's clear, right? We are very good and altruistic people, but we still have to make our shareholders, and we want to make our shareholders happy and further develop our company. So we have good products, and we need to make sure that we maintain the prices.
Yep. Okay, good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any further questions, kindly press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll move on to our next participant, Thijs Berkelder from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yeah, it's Thijs again. Follow-up question on your pricing. Can we expect another price increase then per January 1? And can you maybe give us an update on, let's say, what is to happen in the salaries of your staff, maybe related to that. The second question is, working capital guidance more or less for the fourth quarter? Well, that probably mainly depends upon whether you will be able to send out your last order flow or not. But in principle, looking at the simple math, working capital is up 2 times year over year. Your backlog is up 2 times year over year. Your production capacity has been doubled in Bruntal, and Romania will come on top. It's maybe too aggressive to say, are you planning to double your revenues in 23 versus 22? That you never will say that, of course, but isn't it that we're looking at far far too cautious revenue projections for 23 versus 22 when looking at what's happening, let's say, in demand in the end market? And of course, supply chain is the key hurdle.
If I may start here, well, on the pricing side, as we are in the process here of evaluating this as we speak, we have not done any information here to the customer base so far. Looking at what we see right now, residual pricing changes in incoming goods, I think the likelihood is very high that we implement a next step of pricing adjustments, not across the board. We want to be more specific here, but we need, let's say, next 2-3 weeks to get through, let's say, the final discussion also with key customers in order to make sure we have no useless repercussions here. Well, on the salary side, and I think, Daniel, I will compliment on this, but the generic approach right now is we cannot give, let's say, a 100% inflationary balance here out, but naturally we will see a higher increase compared to the 2-3% of the last year. So we are rather looking at the 5% range. And for the outlook, to spare the working capital topic out for Daniel, for the outlook, I think still we must not neglect, and especially also the previous, or just the comment here on hydrogen, on Malte's question, we need to take this into consideration. We are in part of our business still in business development, and let's say delays in decision making. Yeah, you have changing government in some, let's say, of the projects that are government related business. So you see a delay and adoption of the hydrogen part. There is, let's say, if things take 1, 2, or 3 quarters longer, this is not, let's say, something unusual. And that's why, although it's maybe against my personal nature, I'm still a little cautious here in, let's say, going out with, let's say, such extremely aggressive projections, because we also have to build up naturally capacity, the organization. But overall, yeah, we are optimistic also for let's say the next year, and we'll let us get through, let's say, the next couple of weeks, and then we come out with an assessment also and our view on the guidance of next year.
And I think complementing what Peter just mentioned, whether price increase, but also to the employees. I mean, inflation is back. It's around. We all know this. You know, it's at surprisingly high levels. Expecting not to stay at the high level, but expecting not to go away. With regards to our wages, you know, we've seen increases already this year. Mentioned that that's one of the reasons why also our functional costs have increased. We are valuing our employees. We got very good employees in all regions. So we do, you know, do pay competitive wages. We intend to maintain it because that's really a valuable resource for us. And obviously, you know, we will see an increase in personal expenses. And last question to working capital, real quick, level of inventory. Yes, two effects that we're having here. One of them is obviously growth of revenues and production that increase our inventory level. And, you know, if you do the simple math and days of inventories, you'll see that. But the second effect is, of course, also, you know, that we increase the pure level of inventories. And what we will see most likely as we move into various regions and also establishing, and India is one of the reasons. I mean, you'll probably also see a temporary increase of inventories as we, you know, start operations, local operations in those regions.
Yeah. Maybe an add-on question on the doubling of production capacity in Broomtel. Do you mean with that the current staff base is capable, based on what you now will have, to produce two times as more product as before? Or do you need to further grow the staff base to, for instance, 400 to deliver twice as much product?
No, I'd say within this year we have already hired additional people also for the manufacturing and the production side. There is a handful of people still missing, but we are training people already, let's say, for the expansion right now. As said, we cleared up the space now. We have moved everything here in terms of stock and material to our logistics center in the last couple of weeks. We are opening this up right now. And therefore, now we can expand there, and part of the team is already on board, but we are talking about, let's say, a handful of people missing. And then the next step is, and this is planned for Q3 next year, we are in the process of evaluating suppliers and the right concept here to have a partial automation in here, especially also on the stack level assembly side.
Okay, that's what I love to see. Then in Q3.
So happy to welcome you again when we have the robots running.
And happy to make you happy.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the questions. It appears there is no further question at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to Dr. Peter and Mr. Daniel for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Priscilla. Well, thanks everybody here for your interest and attention in what we are doing here. As always, don't hesitate to reach out to one of us here also, or also Suzanne, and then set up bilateral discussions. We thank you very much and wish you a great day.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.